Tonight is a terror network at large. The concert bomber's father and brothers arrested as new images emerge purported to show the suspect and the bag that may have held the bomb. Our first look at the explosive. New airport screening changes affecting your electronics, your food, even papers you carry on board. What you should know before your next trip. The president and the Pope inside the meeting after their clashes during the campaign. The gifts they exchanged and what they said behind closed doors. Medical marijuana and children. Tonight, the first large-scale study on kids with epilepsy. Desperate for relief. Doctors say the results are life-changing. And a graduation surprise for an amazing mom who attended every class with her son to help him earn his degree. Nightly News begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West. He was no lone wolf in Britain tonight. Investigators have revealed all signs point to a broader terror network linked to Monday night's suicide bombing at a Manchester pop concert that killed 22 people. Today we learn new details about the attacker himself and the alarming sophistication of the bomb he carried to the packed arena. Tonight, the identity and whereabouts of the bomb maker are unknown as the UK remains on its highest terror alert, fearing another attack could come at any time. Chief Foreign Correspondent Richard Engel has late details on the investigation.
New images tonight reported to be the suicide bomber doing reconnaissance or perhaps buying supplies. CCTV cameras reportedly show him in a shopping center right next to the concert arena and wearing a backpack, the tags still on it. It appears to be the same backpack that 3 days later would carry a bomb. British officials identified the attacker as 22-year-old Salman Abedi, a college dropout whose relatives had warned authorities he was dangerous. British officials don't believe he was working alone.
I think it's very clear that this is a network that we are investigating.
Another sign of a network? The bomb. The New York Times obtained pictures of what's left of it, the now charred blue backpack, a powerful battery, and handheld trigger. U.S. intelligence officials don't believe it's the work of an amateur. It could be a family affair. British police arrested Abedi's brother yesterday. And today, Libyan officials said another brother was picked up in Tripoli for allegedly planning an ISIS attack there. ISIS claimed responsibility for Monday's attack, and there appear to be ISIS links. Abedi's acquaintances tell NBC News he was friends with a man named Rafael Hosti, a recruiter from Manchester listed in a trove of thousands of internal ISIS documents obtained and verified by NBC News a year ago. Hosti was reportedly killed in Syria. Now the search for accomplices still at large. At least five arrests today in multiple raids in the Manchester area. In one, security forces searched an apartment neighbors said was being used as an Airbnb.
And there's a high turnover in this Airbnb, in this flat that's being raided?
Yes. Yeah.
How often would you say?
Could be every three or four different groups a week sometimes.
British authorities are taking no chances, putting troops on the street, canceling the ever-popular changing of the guard at Buckingham Palace, and beefing up security at St. Paul's Cathedral, where the Queen attended a service. Her nation on its highest state of alert in a decade.
U.S. and British officials believe Abedi had helped making the bomb, or that he might not have made it at all, but was simply a willing assassin carrying out a mission. So there may be a bomb maker on the loose. Lester?
Richard Engel tonight, thank you. And as the investigation continues, we're learning more about the victims, many of them children, and stories of the survivors who witnessed the moment of terror up close. NBC's Bill Neely has their stories.
After a concert they'd waited months for.
Oh my God!
A horror they never expected.
Flash and then a huge bang.
Tonight, Phil and Kim Dick are still reliving their nightmare of being 20 feet from the suicide bomber waiting for their daughter and granddaughter.
I was shouting, my babies are in there, my babies are in there.
I checked through every single person injured, dying and dead to make sure it wasn't my daughter and granddaughter, and that's going to live with me forever.
In Kim's arms was an injured 14-year-old, Freya Lewis.
You think she was going to die in your arms?
Yes.
I did.
Freya survived. Her 14-year-old friend, Nell Jones, did not.
May him come home, please.
After Charlotte Campbell's poignant plea, terrible news. Her 15-year-old daughter, Olivia, confirmed dead. Her family distraught.
We still couldn't believe it was Ollie. And when they said she was there... You know, it's... You could hate people for what's happened.
And for Safi Rose Roussos, just 8, the youngest victim, tributes in their best writing from her friends and teacher.
We have to hold on to the love amongst us. We owe that to Safi and her family.
Tonight, the agony lingers because these are the faces not just of the dead, but the missing. The daughters of this couple lost their parents, and so many parents lost children. 2 generations mourned here tonight. Manchester's pain, raw.
And dozens of teenagers and children are still in the hospital tonight, many with terrible injuries. Their lives changed forever. Lester?
Bill Neely outside a growing memorial in Manchester. Thank you. And now to security here at home. 2 days before the Memorial Day weekend, the TSA says it's starting to test new screening procedures for carry-on bags at a handful of airports nationwide. The procedures will require passengers to remove certain electronics from their carry-ons for separate screening and perhaps even food and paper. NBC's Tom Costello explains why.
Just in time for the busy summer travel season, the TSA's new screening pilot program will affect passengers at 10 airports. Boise, Colorado Springs, Detroit, Fort Lauderdale, Boston Logan, Los Angeles, Lubbock, San Juan, Puerto Rico, Las Vegas, and Phoenix. While passengers are already required to remove laptop computers for separate screenings, the new procedures will require separate screenings for any device larger than a cell phone, including tablets and e-readers. The reason? People are cramming so much into their carry-ons, TSA screeners struggle to look for signs of an explosive. The TSA says passengers may be asked to ensure that electronics and other items in a bin are not stacked on top of one another. John Holinsky is the former TSA deputy administrator.
It becomes a challenge because the more things you put in the bag, the harder it is for them to try to discern what's a threat and what's not a threat.
The TSA may also require passengers to separate carry-on food and books, which can obscure the X-ray. But the move is unrelated to a potential laptop ban on flights coming from Europe. Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly recently talked about the challenge of screening so many passengers.
What you see every day is the people that tell you to take your shoes off and take your belt off and put your hands over your head. I think it's unavoidable until we can somehow come up with a technology that you can just walk through and it's perfect.
Passengers with TSA PreCheck will not be affected. The real concern, though, is that this may cause backups of TSA checkpoints. But the agency says, if successful, they could roll this out to other airports nationwide. Lester?
All right, Tom Costello, thank you. In a late development tonight, the much-anticipated scorecard is out on the plan passed by House Republicans to replace Obamacare. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office estimates the plan would leave 23 million more Americans uninsured by 2026. For more details, we go to NBC News national correspondent Peter Alexander. Good evening, Peter.
Hey, Lester, good evening. That prediction estimating the plan that House Republicans passed earlier this month to replace Obamacare would leave 14 million more Americans uninsured next year. Over the next 10 years, that number, as you noted, grows to 23 million. Premiums would jump about 20% next year before dropping a couple years from now when states can approve less comprehensive coverage. For people with pre-existing conditions, that could raise costs significantly. And what you pay out of pocket would go up for things like maternity care and mental health benefits if your insurance no longer covers them. Republicans are touting $119 billion in estimated savings over the next decade. But to be clear, for the moment, Obamacare remains the law of the land. The future of health care reform right now is in the hands of the Senate. They are now working on their own replacement plan. Lester?
Peter Alexander from the White House, thank you. Now to the president and the Pope. President Trump continuing his overseas tour with a stop at the Vatican for a meeting with Pope Francis. A closely watched encounter, as you can imagine, after the two clashed during the campaign. So what did they say and what gifts did they exchange? Our chief White House correspondent, Hallie Jackson, takes us inside.
A deferential Donald Trump at the Vatican today after a show of papal prestige even a president can't match. Pope Francis spending a half hour privately with the president in their first meeting.
He is something. He is really great. We had a fantastic meeting.
It's a visit that seemed impossible just 15 months ago when the president blasted the Pope for criticizing those who build walls and not bridges.
It wasn't obviously a meeting of the minds, but it was certainly a meeting of two men who are both disruptors in their own way, one in Rome and one in Washington.
Today, the two found common ground about persecuted Christians and terror threats abroad. The Pope lighting up, teasing Melania Trump about her husband's eating habits.
Yeah, I think we're made for pizza. What do you give him to eat?
Asking about petitza, a Slovenian treat. The highly symbolic meeting capped with the exchange of gifts. The president brought Pope Francis first edition books by Martin Luther King Jr., whom the Pope admires. Francis, in turn, gave the president an olive branch medallion, symbolizing peace, along with his encyclical on the environment, a nudge from the climate change advocate, and from the Vatican's top diplomat, a more explicit push to convince the president to stay in the landmark Paris Climate Agreement, a decision President Trump will make after this week's G7 summit in Sicily.
But before Sicily, a stop here in Brussels for a NATO summit. And even though the president recently flip-flopped his position on the defense alliance, saying it's no longer obsolete, Eastern NATO nations feeling threatened by Russia will want reassurance from the president. He really means what he says. Lester.
Allie Jackson in Brussels tonight. Thanks. Back home, the family of a murdered employee of the Democratic National Committee is speaking out against conspiracy theories that have surfaced regarding his death. Fox News has now disavowed its role in spreading those theories. Still, they are feeling the fallout. Some companies have begun pulling ads from one of its primetime shows. NBC's Pete Williams has more.
The conspiracy theories began soon after 27-year-old Seth Rich was shot and killed near his Washington, D.C. group house last July while working on a voter turnout project for the Democratic National Committee. 12 days later, WikiLeaks published embarrassing DNC emails. And 2 weeks after that, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange offered a reward for information about Rich's death. That started months of wild speculation. A former House Speaker said this Sunday about Rich's death.
Having given WikiLeaks something like 53,000 emails and 17,000 attachments.
But here are the facts. Washington, D.C. police say they found absolutely no evidence, having looked at Rich's computers, that he was ever in touch with WikiLeaks. His death, they say, appears to be the result of a botched robbery.
Fox News reported last week that an outside investigator found evidence linking Rich to WikiLeaks, then retracted that story yesterday. Today, Rich's parents, in an essay in the Washington Post, said of the conspiracy claims, the amount of pain and anguish this has caused us is unbearable.
They feel like their son's legacy is hijacked, that it's been taken away from them. It's almost as though they're reliving the murder again.
Fox's Sean Hannity insists there's more to come on the story.
Out of respect for the family's wishes for now, I am not discussing this matter at this time.
Now Hannity is beginning to lose advertisers over the issue.
What you're seeing with this fake news cycle is Americans are separating from public officials, from law enforcement, from intelligence, from fact-based research, and that's a dangerous phenomenon.
And a continuing nightmare for a still grieving family. Pete Williams, NBC News, Washington.
Still ahead tonight, pot for kids. A major new study finds medical marijuana can have a dramatic effect on children with a serious health problem. One family says for their son, it's a life changer. Also, the massive landslide cutting off one of the most beautiful places in America. We're back now with a potential game changer concerning medical marijuana and children. Until now, there's only been anecdotal evidence about the treatment benefits of medical marijuana on certain disorders. But a major new study out today reports it could have a dramatic effect on children suffering from seizures. NBC's Kristen Dahlgren explains.
Not long ago, this would have been impossible for 13-year-old Jack Ziolkowski.
He was having seizure after seizure.
Up to 20 seizures a month.
You just see the light in his eyes just vanishes.
Until a first-of-its-kind study of the marijuana derivative known as cannabidiol, or CBD, given to kids in an oil, It doesn't contain THC, the psychedelic ingredient in marijuana. For Jack, the results were remarkable.
When we started the CBD, we went 6 months seizure-free.
Today, researchers published a follow-up study, the first large-scale trial of medical marijuana for epilepsy, published in the New England Journal of Medicine. Participants taking the CBD saw an almost 40% drop in seizure frequency. Three patients stopped seizures completely.
Some of the children I care for were in wheelchairs, were barely able to open their eyes. Now they come in, they're walking, they're smiling.
While doctors call it groundbreaking with the potential for dozens of other applications, they say cannabidiol is still hard to research because marijuana in any form is considered a Schedule I drug by the DEA. That means more restrictions and controls.
It's just not right that so many people don't have access.
The company who made the CBD used in the study will soon seek FDA approval as a medication. As for Jack, he's now taking lower doses of his other meds, having fewer seizures, and living life
nice work.
Just like he should be. Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News, Stamford, Connecticut.
We're back in a moment with the yearbook photo that's fetching a lot of attention and the touching story of how it ended up there. Tonight, a massive landslide in California is cutting off access to the gorgeous Big Sur coastline, burying Highway 1 under a pile of rock and dirt. It's just the latest in a series of weather-related issues now costing the state well over $1 billion and counting. The cleanup could take a year, but the impact to local communities will last even longer. NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer has more.
Tonight, the view of Big Sur is breathtaking for all the wrong reasons. California's Highway 1 buried under a mountain of rock and dirt pouring from the hills into the ocean. The debris field stretches a quarter mile wide and four stories high. The state's most popular and stunning coastline could be cut off for a year. Some now drive 3 hours for milk and groceries.
Now they have to go all the way up other roads to try to get up here.
The local economy is dependent on tourism. But now, after 6 years of drought and months of wildfire, winter brought a deluge of rain, washing away roads and bridges. It was the wettest winter on record.
Some of the scale of these slides haven't been seen in our area for decades. Mother Nature's really taking its toll on us.
The cost to repair the damage in the billions. Big Sur's most exclusive resort, Choppers Inn guests who can't reach them by roads. This escape package, $4,000. But for most, paradise is out of reach. In one of the world's most beautiful landscapes, it's getting ugly. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
Now to a pair of best friends who are warming hearts all over the web today. That's Andrew Schock, a senior at Stafford High School in Virginia, and his service dog, Alpha, side by side, smiling for the camera in the yearbook. Andrew has type 1 diabetes, and he takes Alpha to school every day to help monitor his blood sugar. He's such a constant presence in class where everybody adores him, they decided to give him his very own picture like any other student. When we come back, the mom who was with her son every step of the way toward his degree and got a big surprise of her own on graduation day. Finally tonight, a heartwarming story as families gather for graduations all across the country. It's about a mom who was by her son's side every day in the classroom as he earned his degree. And thanks to an amazing surprise, his big commencement day turned out to be her big day, too. NBC's Ann Thompson has our Inspiring America report.
This was the final push. For 2 years, Judy O'Connor went to every class with her son, Marty, taking notes and writing test answers so he could earn his MBA from Chapman University. A fall down a staircase in 2012 paralyzed his arms and legs.
There's no way I could have done this without my mom. You know, she has been there every single step of the way.
If that puts a lump in your throat, you're not alone.
The faculty, the administration, and the Board of Trustees have decided to honor with an honorary MBA degree.
The commencement announcer struggled to reveal the surprise engineered by Marty for his mom.
She has taken notes and worked with Marty throughout his academic career. Oh, shoot.
The crowd rose to its feet as Judy got her degree. Marty beamed, and an amazingly composed Judy blew kisses.
As mother, I wanted to come in and fix things, and there was not a thing I could do. It was very therapeutic for me through the whole process.
The retired school teacher uprooted her life, moving from Florida to California to be Marty's hands, helping the now 29-year-old find value in a dramatically altered life.
These past 2 years have been just such a transformation. I know that I can embrace challenges and see them as an opportunity for growth. And just realize that, you know, your circumstance is not your sentence.
Earning an honorary degree after giving a master's course on love. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
That's going to do it for us on a Wednesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.